Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Matthew, following on from last week, Matthew 7. So we're starting at verse 13, going through to 23. So enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Jesus Christ is saying, I want to make you into a person who loves God, who loves your neighbor. And this means that you must become a very specific kind of person. It will involve having your will completely surrendered to the will of Jesus for your life. Becoming a person whose life and everything in it is definitively lived as Jesus would live your life if he was you, you were you. It means that you must commit your life in complete obedience to absolutely everything he said. He, the living Christ, is calling you and me to live our life with him manifest and present in it completely. That is Christianity. It's what it means to be a Christian. All along, Sermon on the Mount more or less said that to us. Now I know there might be some questions you have. Hold on to them. We might get to them as we preach through these first two verses. I just want to remind ourselves of how jarring, how all-encompassing the call that Jesus extends to those who would follow him actually is. Right? In a sense, he summarizes all that he said on the Sermon on the Mount from now on in the last little bits of the sermon. And today's two verses enter through the narrow gate. For narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way. And you know what he does by saying that to us and to you? Straight up, he says to you, he says to me, the Christian life is difficult. It's extremely difficult. The thing that defines, I think, those two verses, and I might just get them up there, Peter, if I can, on the... Do I actually have... A PowerPoint, did I send one through? That's fine, just leave that up there. Yep, cool, thanks. The thing that defines these two verses, in many ways, is narrowness. Did you catch that? Narrow is the gate, or straight is the old English word. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way. And I want to break that up to talk first about the gate, the starting point of where we might enter the Christian life. Let me just say a few things about that. You know, what makes this gate so narrow? What makes this life so difficult? What makes everything that Jesus has said in the Sermon on the Mount hard and difficult? Well, here's what I think it means. It means that if I am going to enter into the Christian life, there's a bunch of stuff that I'm going to have to leave behind. You see, it's a narrow gate. Imagine if I was to try and crawl through a small gap, an opening in a wall, and I got a big pack on with a bunch of stuff that I want to take with me. And I start squeezing and shimmying my way through there, and I get stuck. And halfway through, I realize, well, I'm not going to make it through. I'm going to have to take this pack off, and I'm going to have to leave it because it doesn't fit through the gate, through the gap that Jesus is calling me into. And so here you then want to ask the question, if that's the case, what is it? What are the sorts of things that Jesus has in mind here that he says, this is just not going to fit through the gate? There are a few things in summary form that I'll give you. I think the first thing is Jesus says you cannot squeeze through that gate without leaving the world behind. In fact, I'll give it to you up front. There's three things that you have to leave behind. The world, the way of the world, and yourself. The world, the way of the world, and yourself. None of those things can fit through the gate. Okay, let's break them up. The world. What do I mean by the world? Let me tell you a story. It's a fictional story. It's not true. It's a made-up story. But let me tell it anyway. I want to tell you the story of two girls, Amy and Lucy. They've been lifelong friends. Knew each other from childhood. They were thick as thieves. Great buddies. Not Christians. Didn't know Jesus. And the thing that they loved most, I think that they bonded over the most, was as they grew up, they really were pretty heavily into, without knowing it, but essentially subconsciously finding their self-worth in their body image. You know, say, they're typical of this congregation, young people, I'm going to say the wrong things here, and you can pay me out afterwards, you know, but they loved living for the selfie, you know, the... how do you do it again? You're all pros at it. That's why they make phones with these things that you can get this right, you know, on the angles. And this is the thing that they just love to do. This is the kind of thing that even when they were young and they started sort of getting phones, got into that. But of course, you know, it grew more and more where they particularly loved shopping sprees, particularly loved encouraging each other in presenting themselves and asserting themselves in whatever ways online with a bit of a competition. Who gets the most hits and the most likes on how they kind of present themselves online? You know, it kind of grew all more and more serious and intense because boys got involved and parties got involved and all the rest of it. And then at some stage, through really bizarre circumstances, Amy met Jesus. Became a Christian. And you know, at first she kind of went along with that life and tried to fit it in and continue on with her and Lucy's way of just being them, really, in terms of who they want to be online and among their peers and their friends and among boys. But gradually she started to think, I don't know if I want this anymore. Gradually, she started finding excuses to pull out of the shopping trips, and gradually she started posting less and less of herself online. Gradually, she started caring less and less about what others saw and thought or liked and clicked. And it all really came to a head one day when they were supposed to go for a weekend away in Melbourne, one of the typical big sprees and hotels and whatnot. It was a real treat, and she pulled out. Amy pulled out. She pulled out because of a special church service she really wanted to be at. And it came to a head between her and Lucy when there was a massive, enormous fight. And Lucy was open, saying, "I don't know you anymore. I've lost you. You're dead to me. What happened to us?" And Amy's sitting in a painful position where she needs to realize here that, you know, she cannot squeeze through the gate the old life. You can't. This is the raw, hard reality in a conversation between two friends where where one had to say to the other, "I'm really sorry, but I'm done with this. I'm done with this." Because you see what happens when you become a Christian. Something very interesting happens. Jesus comes and he stands in between you and every other person in your life. You can only know them truly and fully through Jesus. And that's a bit of a digression, and I won't pursue it very long, but it's also very beautiful, because only in Jesus can we truly, deeply, most satisfyingly know another person. Everybody else in your life who knows you after you become a Christian knows you through the lens of Jesus. You know them from the narrow road. And it makes all the other people, the rest of the world in your life, respond to you in different kinds of ways. Some people are going to outright reject you. They'll hate the Jesus whom you have committed yourself to so intimately and intensely and all-encompassingly. They'll hate him. Some will be indifferent. Some will love the Pilgrim's Progress, find the gate themselves eventually, and enter in. These are all the kind of responses that you can expect. You get the point. The world, for all of us, with respects to one thing or another, is going to have to be left behind. There's some stuff that we're done with when we decided that I belong to Jesus and he is in me and we are joined together and I now am committed to a different life that I want to live, that I seek to live. It's different. It is all different, completely different, entirely different. It filters everything in your life. You cannot live the Christian life if you're not willing to squeeze through the narrow gate, right? The world is left behind. The way of the world is left behind, and I'll get to that in a little while. I first want to dig into a bit of you leave yourself behind. That's very deep. Came across this beauty ad, because I do a lot of beauty shopping myself. I need it. Dove's slogan, "My beauty, my say." Amy and Lucy were into this big time, defining their own beauty, their way, and Amy has come to say, "My beauty, God's way. I don't define of myself what I think is beautiful. Christ defines me from this point on." You see, Jesus doesn't just enter into you and the other people in your life. He enters in between you and your relationship with yourself. He says of me what I am and who I am. I am beautiful because I'm a child of God, because of who he is, because of what he has done for me, because of what I am and am yet to become in him. Stunningly beautiful. I mean, it's not that Christ isn't about beauty, it's that it's defined differently. It's going right up against the world that says, no, 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 this is all about you. You get to say who you are, what you are. The whole idea is that the sweet dream of our culture's narrative is that you are God. You define things yourself. The Christian life says, I can't fit that through the gate. It won't fit through the gate. I'm defined utterly and entirely by who Jesus says I am, whom God, my loving Father, says I am in Christ. Even my beauty, you can take your pick of what other thing you want to, how people define themselves. How strong, how good looking, how wealthy, healthy, whatever. Christ says it. Christ determines who I am, what I am. My own self-determining right does also not fit through that gate. Can't. It's too narrow. We leave it there. Friends, can I ask the challenging question then for us? Are you done with the world? Are you done with yourself? Truth is that the gate is narrow. Truth is that the gate starts narrow. Interesting that Jesus portrays the Christian life as narrow at the beginning. I don't know how often the church tries to compete with the culture and say, oh, no, 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 no. Christians also have fun. Not much has to change in your life when you become a Christian. Just keep doing what you're doing and add Jesus to it. Jesus says, no. No. This is not how it works. It starts narrow. The gate's narrow. Very few people actually ever find it. And by the way, while on the one hand we rush to find that scary, can I also say it's really encouraging? If you feel like you're the only one in your life who's pressing into living for Jesus and nobody else is, and you start to think, oh, maybe I've got it wrong, Jesus says, no, you don't. If you say, well, my church is really small, nobody wants to join in the life of following Jesus and loving him. And we'll talk about why that's worth it in a minute. Be encouraged, because Jesus said that's how it's going to be. Not many are actually going to press into this. Few are actually ever going to walk this road. Right? Be encouraged. The gate's narrow. And the way afterwards to move on continues to be narrow. In fact, it gets narrower and narrower. It gets harder and harder. Because you know what? Placing Jesus in full control of your money and using every dollar for his kingdom and his glory is hard. Learning how to judge lovingly and without condemning, performing tricky healing eye surgery. We talked about this. These are sort of the summary of the themes that we've been over the last few months. You know, that is hard. Living the way of Jesus in marriage, in singleness, in dating, and with relation to sex is hard. Loving, forgiving, and seeking reconciliation with people who hurt you and hate you is hard. Learning how to pray and arrange your life around prayer in which you can encounter the presence of Jesus is hard. Not being anxious or worry about my future in this world because I trust in the love and goodness of Jesus to give me what I need is hard. Growing in any of the things in the Sermon on the Mount without making me feel prideful, like I'm a good religious person, staying humble and completely unaware of my godliness is hard. Failing along the way, because yes, let's be honest, none of this is a switch instant, it's a process, it's a journey, and failing along the way, losing the narrow way, needing to say, I'm sorry, I'm failing and I have failed and I need to be helped graciously by Jesus to return through repentance to the narrow way, constantly, constantly returning, constantly being made humble, you know what? That is hard. The way is hard. It's not just about becoming a Christian. It's about living as a Christian. Growing to live as a disciple of Jesus. We don't just give up the world. We also give up the way of the world. And we form part of a few who will find it and live that way. The Christian life is difficult. The gate and the way is narrow, which brings us to the question. Last point before we wrap up. Why would I do it? Way to sell Christianity. Way to sell the goodness and the glory and the greatness of being part of the church, being a Christian. It's what great appealing salesmanship for all this, yeah? Why would I do this? Short answer? Because it's worth it. Because it's worth it. Because it's absolutely worth it. Love how Jesus anticipates that in this little passage, yeah? He says, enter through the narrow gate. You want to know why? Because, for wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Now, we need to keep two things in mind here. There's a big picture thing we need to keep in mind here, and then there's a here and now thing we need to keep in mind. The big picture thing we need to keep in mind all throughout the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has in the back of his head is the final judgment. God is going to bring final judgment on the world, and his concern, among many other things, is who is going to stand in that judgment? Only those who come to know Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And those who come to know him that way are placed on the narrow road and will walk it and will reach that day of great and final and utter judgment of God and stand in it. Trust me, it will be worth it on that day to have entered through the narrow gate and to have walked along the narrow road. Worth it. But it's not just the big picture, okay, one day it'll be worth it, but for now, the rest of my time here on earth, it's all just bad news. No. I tell you what, the narrow road for all these difficulties and hardship is a good road. It's a great road for many reasons, but I can maybe just give a couple, or let's take ourselves back to Lucy and Amy. Lucy, you see, the truth is that in the story, made up, but it can be easily real enough, is that she has gone on in her life living for herself. She became her own idol, and the problem with idols is that they're eventually going to let you down. They're not there for you when you need them. You see, she goes through her life, and every quest of ongoing fulfillment turns up unsatisfying. She moves to ever more desperate things because it moves on from cute teenage selfies of your body image that you want to project to substances, to partners. And you know what? Even the beauty that you once celebrated is gone. So she sits in the nursing home one day, and I'm told when you're getting to the end of your life, my grandmother, who's alive, still tells me all you have to live off is memories, the past. And she sits in bitterness. Bitter past memories of a life so broken, so painful, and a future without hope. Amy reaches the nursing home at the end of her life, and let's be absolutely clear, she did not live an easy life. It was not without setbacks or pain, but oh my, the treasured memories of Christ along the narrow way. The deep, sweet fellowship of the friends, the few that walked with her along that way is precious and it is sweet. She fills her days reminiscent of the soul-satisfying presence of Christ there with her as she meditates on the scriptures, face beaming, and knowing in the days when the palliative of care comes because her time is done that she's going to meet Jesus. The hope, you see, worth it. Which do you want to be when you're in the nursing home? Amy, the narrow road people. It's worth it. It's going to be worth it in the big picture. It's going to be worth it now. It's going to be worth it throughout. It's going to be worth it towards the end of this life. It is just always at every point going to be worth it because Christ is worth it. So super worth it. The Christian life is hard. The Christian life is super worth it. And now let's finish it by, you know, I think the most provocative word Jesus gives us in this little passage is the first one. Enter. You can't live the Christian life by looking at it. You got to be in it. I wonder if sometimes people live the Christian life like we look at a movie. We can look at a movie, and a movie has true power to move us emotionally. It's like we are almost sort of in it, but you're not. Jesus says that's not possible. It's not possible with the Christian life. Enter. Enter into it. Live it. Become, eventually, make it your life's ambition to be, as I said in the beginning, completely living under the ways, the will of Jesus. Right? And it is on that road that you will know Jesus. How striking is it, the last bit that Jesus tells us? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on the last day of the great judgment, God, did I not prophesy or preach or heal or what not? Jesus' words is jarring. I never knew you. Which makes the question to myself is, does Jesus know me? Am I known by him? You are known by Jesus on the narrow road. We know him in obedience. We know him in faithful living with him, for him. Okay, straight away, you know, the theology people are saying, well, what about grace and faith? It's not about my actions, my word, totally. It is all about your faith in what Christ has done for you on the cross. That is how you're saved. Make no mistake, that faith and that grace will do one thing and one thing only with you. Put you on the narrow road. Therefore, if we think that we're not on the narrow road, we've got to ask him. It's not a question you want to be living under in tyranny and in fear, but it is a question we have to ask ourselves often enough. Jesus, where am I with you? Where am I on the way? Dana and I, on Wednesday morning, I don't know, wonderful moment in our devotional time where we just, again, reflected on this, and it's not hard. It's a simple question. Jesus, where am I at? Show me. Show me where I'm at. Show me where I need to be next. The wonderful thing is, and this is the response where we can land, you know what, if you've never responded to Jesus at all, would you ask yourself today, is he calling you? Is he calling you onto that road? Leave the world, leave yourself, get into a better life. Ask him, Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, make yourself known to me. Show me how I must live. Come to me. Start it today, not tomorrow, today. If you've been on it for a long time, but you're struggling, you're unsure, would you take what's going on in your life right now and ask, Jesus, what does this look like? What does it look like for me to live in full obedience to you? Show me. I want to know. He is a faithful and just Father. I love what Ryan said to us a few weeks ago. What loving father, if his child asks him for the Holy Spirit, will give him a snake or a stone? You ask God to put you on the narrow road with him where you're going to know Jesus, he's going to do it. You'll have it. Be ready. Expect it. And when you're on that narrow road and he shows you breakthroughs in your life, celebrate it. If you've lost it, you need to return to it. Jesus, put me back there. He will do it. It's as simple as that. And yes, obviously we can say a lot more about discipleship and so on, but I'm going to leave it there. Friends, the Christian life is hard. Christian life is worth it. Ask Jesus again and again to keep us going in our Christian lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for any friend here who does not know you yet, but who decides that today is her day, his day. Who says, I'm done. Done with the world. I'm done with myself. I want to know Christ. New life. An eternal life. Would you meet that friend? Would you make that friend a family member? Do you lead that friend to be baptized in you? To be filled with your Spirit? And to know your power that changes us and transforms us? Father, I pray for each family member, brother, sister, who maybe is grappling, wrestling, unsure with where to next on the road they're walking. Jesus, would you come to them? Show her, show him, yes, I'm here. Yes, you're on the right road. Here's what's next. Fill them with your Spirit. Such a desire for that. Jesus, I pray for the one on the narrow road who's hurting in despair, who need fellowship of some of the few who are on there with them. Give them the good friend. Walk with them. Encourage them. Jesus, I pray for the one who's on the wide road, who thinks that we're on the narrow road, but really isn't. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. Put us on a different path. And Lord Jesus, may each person who calls Pathway home truly know the pathway to life, to you, here, now, and always in eternity. We ask, we pray, in your mighty name alone, Lord Jesus. Amen. Music team, thanks.